Hi, I'm Sabrina Petrofessa.
And I'm Lily Rugo.
And this is Earth's Mightiest Fangirls. What are we talking about today, Lily?
Thor, Ragnarok.
The only valid Thor movie.
My first Thor movie. We haven't talked about it in a while because I guess he hasn't popped up, but I've watched the Thor franchise backwards. My friends and I, they watched Thor properly, but so then when the third one came out, they're like, we've been waiting years for this. We our friends group goes to like see Marvel movies together, and they're like, come on, let's go. And I was like, I have seen none of the Thors, but okay, let's go. And I enjoyed it. I wasn't lost in any way, shape, or form. I think I read the Wikipedia to Dark World, and someone told me, like, everyone thinks Loki's dead, and I was like, okay, cool.
But, like, basically what happens in this movie is that Thor is, like, trying to figure out what's gonna end Asgard, and it opens up, and it's, like, some demon guy, and he's like, when my crown touches the eternal flame is when I will destroy Asgard. But also, like, instantly in that scene, you know that this movie, tonally, is completely different.
Yeah, because it opens up, because I'm looking at the wiki right now. Hang on, while I'm looking at it, we'll do the thing. It came out in the States November 3rd, 2017. It was directed by Taika Waititi, written by Eric Page, Craig Kyle, Christopher L. Yost, and we all know who it stars. But most importantly, it was directed by Taika Waititi.
Yes. My boy, Taika. He's a great man. It opens up with Thor in a cave. Or not in a cave. In a cage. Narrating mm-hmm. Emperor's New Groove style.
Yeah. He's doing the meme.
Yeah, he's basically like, I bet you're wondering how I got here. And it's honestly, like, brilliant. I love that opening. It just really is different tonally in this movie. And it's, like, funnier and lighter and happier. And happier given that the whole thing is, like, fighting the goddess of death. But, you know, just is, like, happier and just, like, more fun.
I remember leading up to Thor, once my friends and I had decided this is something we were going to do. I was talking to other people about, like, I was asking them, what do I need to know about Thor, and so on and so forth, and we were talking about it, and I said, Thor is the last Avenger who can have any fun. Iron Man and Cap, especially after Civil War, are just super weighed down with the rest of the MCU, and because of who Chris Hemsworth is, and I guess because Thor takes place in another planetary dimension type thing, Thor is the last Avenger who can have fun, and we saw that, I feel like, in Ragnarok. Saw that the most in Ragnarok.
I think, Taika Waititi basically just said, I just kind of wanted Chris to do his thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because he really is, like, the funniest, and he's, like, so goofy. But the Thor movies have never given him that, like, ability to showcase that. Except in, like, stupid little small moments, but not, like, the whole movie. It's just, like, a little bit, and then nothing else.
Like, we've talked about how Thor's highlights are the little moments versus most of, like, all of Ragnarok holds up.
All of Ragnarok holds up. And I, like, really want to juxtapose Ragnarok versus Guardians of the Galaxy, where Ragnarok has a lot of really good one-liners that aren't out of place and don't seem like one-liners for the sake of one-liners.
Mm-hmm.
But Guardians of the Galaxy is just all one-liners for the sake of one-liners.
Yeah. Not humor-wise, but, like, just the, like, feeling of, like, fresh air. Ragnarok reminded me most of Homecoming because, yeah, the MCU was just super bogged down. We were just kind of, like, waiting for Infinity War. And then Homecoming and Ragnarok come along. And we're just like, oh, yeah, these movies were fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
We could really have a good time.
Really does kind of remind you of that. But I also feel like if we're going to talk about where Thor lies in the greater scheme of the Marvel Universe in the timeline, of, like, just the movies coming out, I feel like Phase 3 has been a lot of, like, angst, and it kind of built up to it in a way that was, like, natural, but because so much of that angst came out right after the other, it was really hard to, like, enjoy.
Yeah, yeah.
Or, like, not enjoy, but, like, Phase 3 starts, and it's Civil War, and you're like, ugh, sadness, you know? Like, meh.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, right before that was Age of Ultron, and Age of Ultron is just, like, a terrible movie.
Yeah.
And now I'm, like, not even thinking, and, like, Doctor Strange tries to be funny, but it's not funny, and it's not a good movie, and I don't like it, so who cares about that one? And, like, Guardians of the Galaxy is, like, honestly, I really just think that they make those movies to have quippy one-liners and have really cool special effects, but nothing else. Like, there's always, like, a heart to those stories, but it's not, like, I don't know, the writing's just not good. And then Ragnarok comes in, and you're like, oh my god, like, finally, like, there's a movie that is written really, really well.
Yeah, the script is tight.
Characters, yeah, utilizes characters we already know in, like, mm-hmm. the best way possible. This is mm-hmm. the best version of Loki and Thor that we have ever seen.
Yeah, since I hadn't seen, I'd only seen Loki in Avengers, and I remember thinking, like, everyone likes this guy? What? And then I watched Ragnarok, it's like, I get it. Okay, Loki hype. It's real. He's good.
Yeah, but, I mean, like, the hype comes from the first movie anyway, but...
yeah. Regardless. Anyways. Yeah.
Side note, my freshman class is doing a final project about their favorite celebrity, and someone chose Tom Hiddleston.
Aw.
And I was like, nice. Oh my god. But part of me was just like thinking, like, oh my god. Because, like, I remember being a freshman and, like, being surrounded by those girls who, like, loved Tom Hiddleston in the creepy way.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh god, mm-hmm. please don't be one of those. Yeah, because I also recall, I think I was a junior in high school, and I was in a choir. And we had an in-school mm-hmm. performance. This is a tangent, but I promise that it, like, makes sense once I finish this. We had an in-school performance. And so, you know those, like, bleachers that, like, that they set out for specifically choir?
Yeah.
So we were all sitting on one of those. We were, like, sitting down because we couldn't leave. Like, we couldn't sit anywhere because the students were all sitting in the seats. Duh. Mm-hmm. And the band was playing. So we sat down because we had nothing to do with that. So we sat down so everyone could see the band. Mm. And I look down. And there's a girl in front of me who is a sophomore. And in her folder of music is her tablet. And on said tablet is anime-styled Thorky porn.
Ah. What?
And I was just, like, sitting there going, people can see you.
Oh, that's a weird thing to do in public.
She's just flipping through it casually. They were saved to her, like, photos app, just going through them.
Yep.
Like, and I was just sitting, and, like, I was sitting next to one of my friends, and I was just like, oh my god. And I, like, elbowed her, and then I pointed, and then she was like, what the you know, like...
that is a choice to make in public.
Yeah, oh, I couldn't. So, like, when my student told me Tom Hiddleston, my brain kind of went, like, short-circuited a little bit, and I was like, oh!
You were flashback.
Yeah. It was, like, PTSD. Oh, man. Like, ugh!
To put it on the record, neither Sabrina nor I ship Thorky.
That's weird. Like, I get that it's not technically incest, but they grew up together.
They really grew up together. They call each other brother. Don't do it, y'all. Please don't.
Like, by blood, it's not incest, but, like, by bond, it is. I can't with that.
That's another one of my least favorite, like, adopted kid tropes, is the adopted kid falls for someone in the family, and I'm just like, no, god, no.
Back to actually Thor Ragnarok, because it's a really good movie, and we should actually talk about it.
Ragnarok is so good. And for as much as we talk about how, like, much fun it was, and this one over my head, because I think we've established larger social messages just kind of, like, over me. But it did a really good job talking about, like, what do you do when your entire history is based on lies and colonialism and war and conquest?
Well, I was, like, while I was watching this, I made a note. I was like, this movie is about learning about your past and not covering it up. Like it's, like, about the... Well, okay. So Taika Waititi is... What is that? What is the native...
Oh, he's... Okay, hang on. I'm looking at it.
From New Zealand or Australia? Which one is it?
He's from New Zealand.
Okay.
Is
it Maori?
Yes, his father is Maori, and his mother is Jewish.
So, also important that he's, like, Maori and Jewish. So he comes from these, like, oppressed cultures that were heavily affected by colonization or...
Imperialism,
conquest. Yes. Nazis. I mean, true, Nazis.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of clear while you're watching this that that's, like, where his lens is coming from, because the movie does kind of have a story to tell about colonialism and imperialism and conquering worlds that you shouldn't. But the parallel that I was drawing was, I guess, I'm just thinking about how, like, we don't accurately educate the masses in school about, like, slavery.
Yeah.
And I was kind of thinking about it in that way, where, like, in the U.S. public system, you don't really get a proper education about the things that the U.S. did that were bad.
Yeah, like, when I was in middle school, I went to a public school in rural Missouri, and for the longest time, I was taught that the Civil War was over states' rights. That slavery was just, like, cause number two.
That's so stupid. I think I knew that, but, like, I was like, yeah, the Civil War is about slaves. But, it, like, there are other aspects to it, like, where my teachers were always like, and then the Native Americans moved west until, like, there was no more land, you know? Like, it was never, like, we came over, brought disease, and genocide and, like, massacred humans for land that we were like, this is ours, even though, like, clearly it wasn't. So, like, it's, like, in that sense, like, where I was, like, watching this and being like, wow, Odin totally covered up this whole history, and because of that, he is causing the downfall of his whole people. And then it made me think, like, wow, we really cover up our history, and we're just watching, like, America in decline right now, you know?
That's fair. No, I think you're right, because a lot of... The thing is, in Ragnarok, remember they did it very literally, is you see the throne room, and then Thor's long... The reason this all comes up is Thor's long-lost sister resurfaces, and she comes back to Asgard to, like, reclaim her birthright, because she is the oldest of the siblings, so on and so forth. And so she goes into the throne room, and she just, like, destroys it all, and she's like, oh, you think this is your history? Because currently the walls are just, like, happy smiling people, and she tears it down, and you see underneath the actual, like, paintings of the conquest Hela and Odin did together. So it was literally just, like, painted over and covered up, which I think is a lot of what is happening now, of, like, because Asgard is, like, you know, millennia old. It's, like, a bajillion years old. So I think the idea is just, like, people are too old. This is old past history. No one will remember it. So if we just paint it over, no one's going to know. And that is what happened. Odin just threw Hela away and then painted over some stuff. And they're like, cool, we're done. And that's roughly what's happening now, I believe, is just, like, it's so old, it's in the past, no one will remember, we're just gonna, like, gloss over it, and we're gonna be good. But actually, if you go back and read a lot of the, like, modern history, mostly, like, the Civil Rights movement, if you go back and read the Civil Rights history, that's not that old. That's, like, that's less than 100 years old. So when people are already trying to, like, paint over it now, it shouldn't work.
Isn't, like, Martin Luther King Jr.'s daughter, like, not even 50 years old or something? No, that's not right.
I feel like I know who you're talking about.
Coretta Scott King. That's who I'm talking... No, is that... That's the wife, is it not?
I'm pretty sure Coretta's his wife. Oh, Bernice is his daughter.
How old is she?
55.
Okay, so she's not even 60 years old. Like, that is not so far off. But anyway, you brought up arguably the best part of this movie is Catherine... Why did I say Catherine? Kate Blanchett.
Yes.
Why did I say Catherine?
Is Catherine short for Kate? Or is Kate short for Catherine?
Possibly, but, like, no one calls her Catherine Blanchett. Anyway, arguably the best part of this movie is Kate Blanchett.
Truly. She did an amazing
Actually,
job.
Actually, no. Tessa Thompson.
Wow.
Equal.
We'll get into that, but yeah, Tessa Thompson was an amazing part of this.
I just absolutely love her performance. I feel like what's so great is that she takes it 100% seriously, but it's also, like, clear that she's having so much fun.
She's having so much fun because there's some things about Hella that are, like, so over the top. Very, like,
Oh, she's, like, a bigger drama queen than Loki.
Yeah, but you buy it. Because one, she's amazing, and two, she's having so much fun. You're just like,
she also has like the power to back it up.
Mm-hmm.
Because like, what's clearly so great about, okay, so when she first arrives, they're on Earth because they go chasing after their dad. They're like, where did you like? You know, whatever. They're chasing after Odin. They find Odin. Odin's like, I'm gonna die, and then he dies and turns into like dust. And, like, goes off into the universe as dust. And I'm like, what? Like, how? What?
Yeah. Shouldn't he have gotten a funeral? Like, his
wife,
anyways.
Why does everyone else leave behind a body but not him?
Maybe because he died on Earth? I don't know.
That feels like even more of a reason to leave behind a body. But anyway. And then all of a sudden, Hela appears. And you're like, oh, yes. Like, I got, like, because she's got that slick black hair, and then for a second you're like, wait, is Thor the adopted one? Because, like, basically Loki and Hela are, like, two sides of the same coin. They literally look exactly the same. Like, honestly, when the trailers dropped, I was like, are we getting a gender-bent Loki? Like, are we just, like, letting that happen? Because that's, like, canon. He does that, like...
Yeah.
In both mythology and the comics. So I was like, is this what's happening here? Like, I'm down for it, but, like, also, is it? And then obviously it wasn't. Side note, also, when, like, she appears and Thor and Loki are, like, walking and then they just both, like, become, you know, like, get into armor, I'm like, yes, like, perfect. This movie is so good at setting up shots like that. There are, like, so many great moments, and it's, like, crazy that they're just, like, moments of people, like, walking at the camera that make me go, like, yes. But that's one of those shots, and, like, Hela just appears, and she's like, nah, I am here. Father is dead. I wish that I saw that. And Thor and Loki are like, oh, bitch. Like, no. And then she, like, takes them down, and Loki is a little coward. And he calls for the gate to be opened. And that's the reason Hela gets to Asgard in the first place.
Oh, I forgot about that.
And then that's how they get to the Grand Master's planet. Because she fights them in the beam of the Bifrost and chucks them out.
Which we didn't know was possible.
I didn't know that was possible. Like, you never saw them inside it. You just saw that, like, the...
Right? Zoom.
And then they were there, you know? Also, you're welcome for all of those... lovely sound effects.
I can't wait.
And then, like, that's the reason she gets there. And then also, like, when she gets there, you just see two of the three warriors, and then she murders them, like, outright, like, right there. And you're like, wait, what?
Thor has one of the highest body counts in the MCU. Or Ragnarok specifically has one of the highest body counts in the MCU.
Well, I was, like, really immediately like, wait, y'all just killed the warriors three. Not yet, like, not all of them yet, because it was only the two white ones. The Asian one was yet to come. And, like, immediately, in the next shot we see with Hela, she's, like, talking to the army, and, like, the Asian one is there. What is his name? Hogan. Hogan is just, like, there, and she goes on this whole thing about how, like, she is Hela, and blah, 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 blah. And he's like, whoever you are, whatever you are, we will stop you. And she's just like, whoever I am, did you not listen to a thing I said? And that long-winded explanation of, like, probably 20 minutes of the movie was just my way of setting up that one line that she says, which is so freaking funny. Also, when in that, like, big speech, she's like, Odin is dead. So are the princes. You're welcome. Like, so serious. You're welcome, by the way. And then keeps going. Like, I love that. I love, like, she finds these great comedic moments that are probably, like, all because of the writing and all because of Taika.
Truly. And also, like, Taika, I think they talked about it. Like, he trusted these actors to be funny. So he's like, if you want to ad lib and go off book a little, do it.
Yeah.
Their whole, but the thing is, because the Warriors 3 just died so suddenly, and I'm not used to that kind of, like, actual deaths, I'm just like, what? They're actually dead? And, like, when they didn't come back, in, you know, the classic Marvel way, I'm just like, oh, they're actually dead.
I just remember watching this and being like, I swear to God, if Sif dies, and then she doesn't show up, and I'm like, okay, Sif is safe. I don't know where she is, but she's safe. Like,
yeah.
I just remember thinking that. I'm like, okay, they just didn't get her in this movie. It's okay. Like, I'm okay with that as long as that means she's alive.
Yeah. So let's go follow the princes when they got booted out of the Bifrost beam, because this is another large part of the movie, and it's really fun, and it brings us to Tessa Thompson.
I don't even remember what that planet's called, but when Thor...
It's like the landfill.
It's, well...
Sakaar.
Sakaar. So he, like, drops down on Sakaar, flies into a pile of garbage, which is, like, probably the best shot of the movie. Or the most gif-able shot of the movie, just because I'm like... Mm-hmm. Meh. It's a great moment. And I just love it so much. And then, like, immediately these, like, ravagers are like, are you a fighter or are you food? And, like, they just are like, you're food. And then Tessa Thompson shows up. And, like, it's the
best entrance in the MCU.
Yes. And, but, it, like, you just, because of how unexpected it is. Like, you expect her to, like, walk off of her ship and be, like, all graceful and shit. And then she comes off. And she, like, literally falls off because she's so drunk. She's a badass.
She looks like a badass, and she starts doing, the badass strut. And then you just see her off the ramp of her ship. It's great.
And when she, like, activates her little gauntlet things, and she just does that move where she, like, puts her arms up and, like, just starts shooting, and you're like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Like, that is just, like, what you do for the rest of, like, seeing Tessa Thompson on screen as Valkyrie.
Yeah, Cate Blanchett and Tessa Thompson's intro to the MCU were kind of the best things of Ragnarok.
Iconic. Iconic. Especially, like, when Cate Blanchett does that thing where her hair just becomes, like, the horns.
Yeah.
Like, amazing. I love her. Gay icon.
Yes.
This is literally gay the icons. Gayest energy movie ever. Like, this movie has such a gay energy, and I love it.
Speaking of gay icon, Valkyrie is, she's confirmed bi? Confirmed pan? We just don't see it?
I have so much of a bone to pick with this. Okay. So, like, as a queer woman, who would probably most identify with Valkyrie, because I... think like confirmed that she's not 100% straight. When there was a scene in like her flashback that was supposed to very obviously show that the Valkyrie who sacrificed her life for Valkyrie was her like lover.
Right.
Like they were lovers. But they cut that out. So, like, anything... So, in that scene, like, you see, like... Yeah. You see, like, this other soldier. Now, because I know know what is actually happening in that scene, I can tell that she's, like, sacrificing her life for her.
Right.
But, like, it's not, like, super obvious because of the way they cut it in that scene.
Oh.
There was more to it that made it, like, really obvious. But they cut it to be like, no. And I'm like, this movie is 2 hours long. What would have another 30 seconds done to add that and, like, make it canon in movies? It just is one of those moves that feels like, you know, after the fact, J.K. Rowling going, Dumbledore is gay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, like, it just feels like one of those things where it's like, if you don't put it in the script, on film, in the movie, you can't call it canon. Like...
Because she makes no other mention of past relationships afterwards.
She doesn't make any mention of past relationships. She doesn't make any mention of relationships. She just says that, like, all of the Valkyrie died, and it was because of Hela, and she doesn't want to ever go back to that.
Right, right.
/ Odin, also because of Odin. So, you know, bullshit. So that's my big issue with that. And, like, I love that. I'm, like, happy that it was post-confirmed. But I just wish it was, like, actually confirmed. Especially because, like, Tessa Thompson is the perfect person to cast as this role because she herself is also queer.
Yeah.
At least I don't know, like, what her term is, but, like, umbrella term, queer. I just wish that they made it more official.
That's fair.
But also a great addition to this movie is Jeff Goldblum.
Ah, yes.
The Grandmaster. Truly, yeah. He has the, like, most chaotic energy, and I love it.
Yeah. He fits so... I mean, it made sense because of the setting he's in, but he fits so well into this movie, this universe. Like, mm-hmm. Perfect Marvel casting was truly. Thor Ragnarok.
I, like, love so much. You know what's crazy is that this movie does the, like, big star power casting without making it awful. You know? Like, because that's what we talked about in Doctor Strange. We were like, they did big star power casting, but it didn't work.
Yeah, they couldn't hold up. They couldn't blend them in enough to be like, oh, yeah, of course that's Benedict Cumberbatch and Rachel McAdams. This was like, oh, that's you kind of forgot it was Kate Blanchett. Yeah, you kind of forgot it was Kate Blanchett. You kind of forgot it was Jeff Goldblum. You knew these things, but you're just like, no. But that's like, Hela and the Grandmaster.
But, like, specifically with Jeff Goldblum and the Grandmaster, it was kind of like, oh, no. So, like the energy you were getting from this movie was like, oh, no, the Grandmaster is Jeff Goldblum, you know? Like,
yeah, yeah.
Like, no, the Grandmaster is real, and he is Jeff Goldblum. Like,
Jeff Goldblum on the weekends.
Yeah.
Is in Sicar, yeah.
That was, like, genuinely, like, the energy that you get from that character, which is, like...
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Which is, like, perfect, because that's the energy you need for that character. And I just love his. I love his one-liners. Yeah,
they're so much fun. But we get to see our long-lost Hulk.
Which is the best fight scene ever.
It's the one... They teased it in the trailer, which I guess it makes sense. But I kind of wonder what it would have been like to have been not known. But yeah, so at the end of Infinity War... We know where he went at the end of Civil War... to Sicar. That's just where he crash landed. Now, we don't see Bruce Royale. It's just Hulk, which is the most we've seen of, like, a cognizant Hulk, I think.
Yeah, I mean, he's been previous to that, Hulk it's mostly mode for just how long? Been 2 years.
2 years. He's been in Hulk mode 2 years.
Well, because previous to that, it was just, like, he would come out occasionally, maybe for a few hours mm-hmm. at a time. And now he's been in control for 2 years, which is why when Bruce becomes Bruce again, he's like, no, I cannot become the Hulk again because he might just take it forever.
Because he's developed... Well, I mean, I don't want to say he's developed his own personality, but we finally see where Hulk and Bruce are different because they have two...
And we also get to see, like, the reason Hulk was able... to be so communicative is because he was able to spend so much time out. So, like, that makes sense to me that he would, like, that's why. But one thing I really like about Ragnarok is that it kind of, like, took everything that was, like, awful about Age of Ultron and made it better. And one of those things was the whole, like, hey, big guy, the sun's getting real low. Like, I absolutely hated that in Age of Ultron.
Yeah, it was,
like,
really dumb.
Not, like, hated it. Like, it made sense why it existed, but I mm-hmm. didn't like that it was kind of set up that, like, she was the only one who could do it. But if Thor knew the procedure enough to try and mm-hmm. do it with Hulk... That means that everyone was trained on it.
Right.
And not just Black Widow, which makes that so much better than, like, oh, only Black Widow knows how to, like, turn Hulk back to Banner.
Yeah, but I also do like how ineffective it was. I enjoy how the writers were like, you know, this, in retrospect, this was really dumb. This is not how you talk down the Hulk. And we saw that because he just, like, smacks Thor away like a fly.
Well, I didn't think about it as, like, oh, this is really dumb. Like, that's not how... I thought of it as, like, literally the Hulk has never liked Thor, so why would it work for Thor?
That's true. That is a good moment. Not a moment.
It's like a friendship relationship. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where you're like, they've never liked each other. Like, from, like, the first time Hulk met Thor, they were fighting on that, the thing in Avengers. So, like, why would they like each other? Or why would Hulk like him, so...
I do like whenever Thor was trying to, like, get to know Hulk, because you can see kind of, like, Thor figure out that Hulk is different than Bruce, because he was trying mm-hmm. to relate to him on a Bruce level, and he's just like, you know, I never really liked the other guy.
I like how he does that with both of them, though.
Yeah.
He does it with Hulk, he's like, oh, the science numbers, meh, 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 and then he's like, with Banner, and he's like, oh, that guy, he's just like, smash, like, I love it so much. It's so funny.
Yes.
I don't... I still hate the Hulk Natasha thing. I still hate that, or Banner and Natasha thing. But I did enjoy that, like, seeing her face is what got Hulk back to Banner.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because they were in the Quinjet, and then it was like, hey, big guy, you did really well, but it's now time for you to come home. You're getting real high, like, blah, blah, blah. And then he, like, goes back. I really like that scene.
Yeah.
It's very cool.
I'm just, this is the most we've seen of, like, Mark Ruffalo in a while, and I'm really happy.
Yeah.
I love Mark. Wait, Mark Ruffalo's
this movie
rough,
that he accidentally
Banner.
Streamed the first 20 minutes?
Was it?
Was it this, or was it Spider-Man? I think it was this.
Probably this, it had to be this, because he's not even in Spider-Man.
No, but they all go to the premieres if they get invited to all of them.
Oh.
I think it was this one, though. It was definitely this one. Because, because he was in charge of the, like, Instagram Live, and he was doing it from the red carpet, and then he forgot to turn it off and put it in his jacket pocket and streamed the first 20 minutes, and someone had to run up to him and be like, you're streaming the movie!
That's amazing. I love Mark Ruffalo.
Him and Tom Holland are so
they can't be trusted.
Bad at keeping secrets. It's
they have
fantastic.
Like, they have babysitters when they go out.
They
on
do
on the promo tour. It's great.
My
I love
favorite
how you,
thing was
you
seeing
see
Benedict
all the Brits.
Cumberbatch and Tom Holland together, and every time anyone asked Tom a question, Ben was like, "I'll take that."
Yep. Because, really like, funny. During later on, Hiddleston kind of joins the Brits on their tour, and it's great.
Isn't Tom Hiddleston the only person who read the entire script for Infinity War?
It was him or Ben.
Maybe it was both of them.
Probably.
Anyway, we probably have to cut that out.
Oh, I want to talk about, because we were talking about, while they're on Sakaar, we talk about Hulk.
My favorite thing about, like, the Grandmaster is all his quippy one-liners. But I especially love his, like, relationship with his, like, right-hand lady.
Mm-hmm.
Because when she's like, the slaves are rioting, and he's like, ugh, I don't like that word. He's like, and she says, like, something else, whatever, and he says something, and he's like, ugh, no, the S word. And she goes, the prisoners with jobs are rioting. Like, so great.
Yeah, it's great. Oh, speaking of the prisoners with jobs, that's what I'm talking about. Taika Waititi. I did not know anything about Taika Waititi before going into this movie. And then my friend explained,
Korg.
Like, he's the director, and he's Korg. And I was like, what? And a lot of Korg and Thor parts, those were, I think, improv'd, ad-libbed.
Possibly. I mean, like, if you like Thor Ragnarok, it's probably because of Taika Waititi. And please go watch What We Do in the Shadows. It is the funniest movie about vampires ever. That's his humor. It's, like, funny and smart and, it like, so good.
And it really shows in, I think the first time when you see Korg, when he's explaining why he's in there, because he started a revolution and there weren't enough pamphlets.
Yeah.
But I think that was scripted. But there are other times whenever, like, once they establish who Korg is, it's unscripted and it's really great.
Well, they needed to set up the fact that he started a revolution so that when they needed to start a revolution later, he was, like, in charge.
Yeah. But Taika Waititi is so smart and so fast, and Chris Hemsworth is also smart and goofy, and, like...
It just works.
They can play off each other really well. Like, the scene when they're in the weapons room, I'm pretty sure that was all off-script, unscripted.
Oh, when he's like, it seems that you have a very personal connection with this hammer, and that losing it was akin to losing a loved one.
Yeah,
no, that's a really great scene. I love it. But also, I'm gonna very quickly circle back way to the beginning, because the scene where Thor comes back to Asgard for the first time and sees that stupid play about Loki and in his final moments, I just remember watching it in theaters and going, is that Matt Damon?
Yeah.
Because Matt Damon plays Loki in the little play.
And Matt Damon's in the MCU. He's an Asgardian in the MCU.
So crazy. And then, like, I just love when Thor starts piecing it together, when he's like, okay, like, hey, Dad, what's up? I'm going to just start throwing my hammer around. And then he chucks it really far and, like, just stands behind him. He's like, so what's good? What's happening? And, like, right at the last second, Loki's like, I yield! But, like, I feel like that whole scene really encapsulates, like, just what Loki is. Like, he doesn't... the first two or the first three movies we see Loki in, it's like all about the power grab, all about the struggle. He wants to be in charge and he wants to be married. But this movie was like, let's look at Loki and actually show him as the god of mischief. Like, all he wants is like for people to have all attention on him. But the end of Dark World, like, is like, oh my god, he killed Odin. And then this movie was like, no, he didn't. No, he didn't.
Yeah.
He didn't kill Odin.
Yeah.
He didn't kill his dad.
He just sent him to Earth. Yeah, because, yeah, the end of Dark World was so heavy and ominous. And then Ragnarok picked up that cliffhanger really well. For such a tonal shift, they were like, no, he just kicked him to Earth. And then we got the Doctor Strange cameo. And then we
Which
went
is
to Odin.
Great, because I love when he comes like back, like, well, because when they're on Earth, like, Loki's wearing this black suit with like a black shirt and like totally just wearing black, like the same color of his hair, and then like Thor kind of looks like he's homeless.
Yep, like, he's like hipster homeless.
Yeah, like hipster homeless with this umbrella on a bright sunny day, and then like the like ring comes underneath him, and he's like, Loki, what are you doing? He's like, this isn't me. And then just falls into it, and like a business card comes out. And the fact that Thor like pokes it with the umbrella and is like, Loki, Loki, Loki. Like, that's the funniest thing. Also, the address for Doctor Strange was 177A Bleecker Street. And I don't know why seeing that made me just go 221B Baker Street.
Yeah, that's very close.
I feel like they did it on purpose.
Yeah, maybe that was the only nod we're going to get to Sherlock Holmes. Because I just had a random thought. This is probably not true. But the scene of Doctor Strange that we get in Ragnarok is a copy-paste of a post-credit scene, right?
No.
I mean, it's... Yeah, no, we've seen this scene before.
No.
Verbatim. Yeah, no. We have. Yeah.
Where?
It's the post-credit scene of, like, it might have been Doctor Strange.
Oh,
I don't know.
Then maybe.
But it's copy-paste, so I'm wondering, did Taika Waititi direct this scene, and then they're like, we're too lazy to do an actual post-credit scene, so they just, like, copy-pasted? Like, my core question is, did Taika Waititi direct this scene, and that's why it was so funny? Because it was very off-tone when it showed up in Doctor Strange.
I mean, possibly. I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility that they did that. Especially after Spider-Man was literally just, like, Captain America being like, LOL, you waited for nothing. I'm still mad.
Because I remember a lot of people were really unhappy with the post-credit scene. People were really unhappy with the mid-credit scene in, or unhappy when they realized that they didn't get a special preview. They just got, like, a cut and paste. Anyway.
I mean, like, it's like, we don't really... I'm not gonna get into it. It's, like, not that big of a deal. Like, who cares?
Yeah.
I don't even remember Doctor Strange anyway. But the funny thing is that when, like, he's like, oh, I need my brother back. And he comes, like, out. He's just like, I have been falling for 30 minutes. And then he's like, oh, you think you're some sort of wizard. And, like, Loki goes for him. And then Strange just pushes the portal to them. And is like, nope. really, truly fantastic scene. Love that so much.
Again, Doctor Strange really is so better funny. When you remove him from his own movie.
Well, because, yeah, you're right. They removed him from this movie and it made him funny because he was in... But I think this made him funny because it was Taika Waititi, you know?
So the theory stands. Taika Waititi directed this scene, which is why it was so out of place when it showed up. Anyway.
Well, I feel like if someone else directed that scene, they would have to technically give credit to someone else, you know? But anyway, like, you know, it was just funny. It was just funny.
Yeah.
Also, can't go an episode without mentioning Tony Stark.
What? How are you doing it this time? I don't even know this one.
So when they're on the Quinjet, and Thor is trying to sign in, and he puts his hand on the thing, and he's like, Thor. And he's like, access denied. Thor, son of Odin, access denied. The strongest Avenger, access denied. Damn you, Stark. Point Break. And then it lets him in. And then Bruce, like, 10 seconds later, comes in, and he puts his hand, it's like, Banner, access, like, yes. Like, meh. And then it's like, welcome, strongest Avenger. Which is
Science
so
bros
funny.
Look out for each other.
Really they hysterical. Really do. But also on that same note, because in that scene, wait, never mind. Hold on. I'm going to finish my thought about Tony.
Yeah.
I just love that Tony's, like, still messing with them, even though, like, it's, like, 2 years later.
Yep.
a million light years away and whatever. And then, like, Bruce puts on Tony's clothes. And he's like, I'm going to... He's like, my disguise is... I'm going to be Tony Stark. And he puts on the glasses. He's like, I'm Tony Stark. I'm Tony Stark. And Thor's like, literally, you are the disguise. No one thinks that you're the Hulk. Like, you don't need to be Tony. And then he's like messing with his crotch. And Thor is like, what are you doing? Stop that. Stop that right now. He's like, Tony's pants are so tight. It's like so funny. Like, really, truly great moment. And I was just like, that's weird that Tony's clothes fit you. If they're so tight.
Yeah, they're like, not the same build.
They're not, like, he's wider. Well, maybe that's why they're so tight. Because he's wider. Yeah. And not in a bad way, but, like, they just are.
Yeah, Mark is stockier than RDJ. Yeah.
And it's just, like, really great that, you know, RDJ and Tony Stark still has a presence in this movie, even though he's, like, light years away. And, like, dealing with I don't even know what at this point. Oh, also, we see Hulk's ass in this movie.
Oh, yeah, we do.
And I just was, like, watching that again, and I was like, why did they want us to see that?
Also, we... I've talked about this before, but I'm always thrown off by just, like, how big is Hulk supposed to be? Because in this one, he's about, like, 12 feet tall? 8 feet? I don't know. But in,
that is
like,
the
Avengers,
great mystery
when we
of
see
Hulk,
him
though.
Hopping around buildings, he looks like the size of King Kong. So, did we just get a mini Hulk on Sakaar? Or is they did they just, like, throw proportions out the window a long time ago?
I think that is the mystery of Hulk, and that he just becomes what is necessary, you know?
I'll go with that.
Like, not that, like, he actually Hulk just changes in size, but I think, like, as filmmakers make movies, they're just like,
because there are times when I feel like we've seen Hulk's hand, and it's the size of a bus. And then we see Hulk's hand, and it's just kind of large. So I don't know.
Also, I know that I was about to go off on a different tangent when I was talking about Tony Stark, but I don't remember what it was. Anyway, another thing that I really liked about this movie was the gag of throwing things at Loki.
Yeah, because... It
was to test that he was there.
Yeah, because he does his mischief, like, body double thing. But how long has Loki been on Sakaar? Because the Bifrost threw
weeks,
him out at different
weeks.
Points in time. Oh, just weeks? I thought it was, like, months.
No, it was just a few weeks. Okay. He was like, I showed up weeks ago, and then Thor was like, what? I just got here. He throws the thing, and he's not there, and, like, Thor just, like, keeps throwing stuff through him, and Loki's like, you really want to go back to Asgard? We'll die, and he's, like, throwing things, and then he goes away, and, like, Korg just shows up, and he's like, yeah, piss off, ghost, And then it happens again, except Loki is, like, actually tied up, and he just throws something at his head, and he was like, just had to make sure. And Loki's like, ow! And then, like, it culminates in the last one where he shows up on the ship after they've caused Ragnarok. And he's like, if you were actually here, I'd give you a hug. And he throws something at him, and he catches it, and you're like, like, it's such a good moment. You're like,
I guess this will tie back into the beginning of the episode with the whole, like, colonialism type thing, but they cause Ragnarok. The whole thing is just like Ragnarok is the end of Asgard, end of days, and
it's
so
like it's
Thor
like
thinks
the
he has to stop
Norse
it.
Version of the apocalypse.
Yeah, so Thor thinks he has to stop it, and they think Hela's Ragnarok, and then not Hela, and here we are with them causing it, and a lot of the social commentary I saw kind of surrounding that twist decision thing is like, burn it all down and start over from the beginning.
Yeah.
Also, which is, like, meh effective, but it is a strategy of just, like, what do you do when you find out your entire history has been based on oppression? Burn it all down and start from the beginning.
I mean, the other, like, in-universe reason for that was that literally nobody could kill Hela, and her strength came from Asgard, so the only way to get rid of her was to get rid of Asgard. And, like, the whole thing was a realization of Asgard's not a place, it's a people. So as long as the Asgardian people are still alive, they will always have a home. But then I was, like, sort of thinking about that, and, like... But, like, I also kind of want to, like, know, like... I guess Taika Waititi did direct it, and, like, Native people all over the world are basically, like, people without homes. So, I don't know. I just... It's interesting.
Displaced.
It's just interesting that, like, you think of it that way, like... There are a lot of, like, Native Americans and, like, the Maori people, and, like, there are, like, genuinely different types of people out there who they carry on their culture just by existing because there's no place for it anymore. There's no country. They don't have a home country anymore.
Yeah, they got displaced and kicked out.
Oh, from wherever they were, which is crazy. So, like, it was kind of interesting commentary on that part. Also, quite frankly, this might have to be a long episode because we are not getting rid of my next conversation piece, which is Idris Elba. In this movie, he is Jesus. Like I feel like stylistically, he just kind of looks like Jesus. Also, like, there was a tweet that was going around when this movie came out where, like, a black man went to go see this with his son, and his son at the end of it was like, oh my God, like, who was Jesus? Like, who played Jesus? And, like, the dad was like, who are you talking about? He's like, the man who, like, saved everyone and made sure everyone was safe throughout the whole movie. And it was, like, Heimdall.
Yeah. Okay. Again, I saw them backwards. I didn't know Idris Elba was in the Thor franchise.
Oh, yeah. It's so easy to not realize, though, because, like, in the first two, he has, like, significant, like, speaking lines and stuff, but it's not, like,
he has a helmet. To the plot. And, like,
he does.
So when I saw him, I was just, and I was with, Kevin, we've mentioned him before, and I saw him and I was like, I know that actor. Mm-hmm. I know that actor. And he was like, that's Idris Elba. And I was like, he's in the MCU.
Yeah. But, like, in this movie, it's, like, truly so perfect. Like, because he truly is saving everyone. And that scene where you're, like, it's, like, the Bifrost, and you just see this thing crawling up, like, rocks.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, my God, like, what? And then, like, you just see, like, Heimdall, like, go to the Bifrost, steal the sword, and, like walk away. And you're like, oh!
Heimdall is... He... keeps Asgard going, like, in every movie. Mm-hmm. The only reason Asgard is still there for whatever Thor and Loki have done is because of Heimdall.
Truly, like, Heimdall is perfect. LOL. I even have a note in this movie, in my notes. I'm like, Heimdall is the real MVP of this movie.
Truly.
Because while Thor is stuck on Sakaar and can't do anything, Heimdall's the one who's like, I'm about this, let's go.
Right? He
kicking ass, saving Asgard. Lives.
He saves... How much of the population? All of the population?
Not all of the population, but a good portion.
I was going to say. Yeah, a large of it. Because he takes them to, like, the ruins.
That ship. Definitely a tight fit on that ship. Plus some extras.
What happened to Sif in this movie? Do you remember?
I think she just was filming Blindspot, like, that actress.
Oh, so we just didn't get a Sif.
Yeah, I think it was just Jamie Alexander couldn't film at the same time. Like, I think it was just an actress thing.
Okay, so she didn't die.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Okay. I mean, nothing has been confirmed about her, and I just think that, like, she personally is probably not coming back to the MCU.
That would make sense. That's sad.
Yeah, but she has, like, a steady job now.
That's fair.
You know, like, she plays that girl on Blindspot that, like...
The Blindspot girl.
Yeah, the one with the tattoos.
I would have liked to see Sif again. I would have liked to have her, like, too. Justice.
Like, that was really disappointing, like, not seeing her. But at the same time, if not seeing her keeps her alive, then I'm fine. Other thing, though, is that, like, that final fight scene with Thor and, like...
All of them, right?
But, like, when he realizes what he can do with the lightning. And he loses his eye in this movie. He loses his eye. Like, like, the fact that he does. Is, like, Hela says something about, like... being blind, and then she just straight up, like, blinds him, which is crazy. Also, is Hela's power just, like, create weapons, like, all the time, everywhere?
I guess, if she's the goddess of death, or, like, war.
No, just death. She's just the goddess just of death. Just death?
Yeah. I guess, yeah, she can come up with any ways to kill a person. Those are,
I know.
That's pretty broad powers.
Yeah. But, they were battling it out, and it's when she's like, what were you the god of again? And he just, like, brings all the lightning to him, and just, like,
we don't see enough of God of Lightning. We see him with his hammer, because I guess it's everyone's known for. But, like...
You're like, you don't see enough of God of Lightning. But at the same time, like, thunder is the sound of lightning. Like, it's, you know...
But we don't see enough of, like, what he is the god of. We just see Thor and his hammer, which is what this movie was about.
I guess that's true. Yeah. And, like, the whole movie, like, was like, you don't need the hammer, you need yourself.
Yeah. But also, the only other time we kind of got a glimpse of he was God of Thunder is whenever the first movie, way back when... there was a thunderstorm when Thor went in to get the hammer the first time. That was the first time we were just like, oh, yes.
That was the first time, but in Avengers, he's literally calling lightning to the wormhole.
Yeah,
to stop the Chitauri.
That was a good time. I'm just remembering the worst time.
Yeah. But this is a cool movie. And that whole fight scene. So I've watched that fight scene so many times, and every single time it's awesome. But, but,
normally the one that I see is someone swapped out the music. So instead of, I don't even know what that song is called that is in the movie, but like they swapped out that song for Britney Spears' Toxic.
Okay, we have to link to this version. Because are the songs,
really, is the song incredible. You're talking about
the one that they kept using throughout it's the movie, the Led Zeppelin song? Yes! Oh my god. I'm so glad Marvel had the budget to throw as much money as it required at the Led Zeppelin record label, because Immigrant Song, it was perfect in this movie. I love that song. It's about Vikings to begin with. I love Led Zeppelin's Immigrant Song, and I'm glad they used it.
So, like, now that you're telling me the name of the song, I'm like, yeah, perfect choice, but also at the same time, like, what's also a perfect choice is Britney Spears' Toxic.
Wait, I have to watch both versions now.
It's really great. It's really, really great. I'm telling you. It's like A+, fantastic. I love it so much.
Oh my god. I can't wait.
Yeah? That scene is so good. Also, I love when Valkyrie, like, puts on the suit, the Valkyrie suit, because Thor grabs something from the armory for them, and he's like, found this too, and like gives her a Valkyrie suit, and she puts it on, and she's like fully a Valkyrie again, and you're like, oh yes,
yeah,
yes. Also, the fact that there's no romance in this movie, A+.
Yeah, I also want to go on the record of, like, there were times I thought they were trying to set up Thor and Valkyrie, and I am not for that. Thor loves Jane so much,
yeah,
and Valkyrie is too
well. They like broke up in this movie. Like, one of those girls that asked them for a selfie was like, sorry to hear about Jane breaking up with you.
But yeah, I don't want Thor with Valkyrie, but I really liked the chemistry between Valkyrie and Loki, and like, if they were if they hooked up once, I'm okay with that.
I actually really like the chemistry between like Tessa Thompson and Chris Hemsworth, and it gets me really excited for Men in Black.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, I'm really excited. Like, I think they have a really cool, like, dynamic.
Yeah, I liked the dynamic of the good guy team. I just don't want any of them together.
That's fine. And I didn't want that either. I just thought that they had a really good dynamic.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But I'm with you. I'm glad that there wasn't any romance in this one.
I
miss Jane, but...
I remember what I was going to attempt to say in the middle of my Tony Stark, like, mention.
Yeah.
I'm so mad that people were like, that doesn't sound right that the Hulk would win, like, wouldn't win in a fight. Because I was like, no, like, Thor was legitimately about to win that. The only reason he lost was because he had that taser on his neck. Because the Grandmaster was like, no, I can't lose my champion, and, like, tased Thor. Like, that's the only reason that he won that. Because I feel like they're both evenly matched.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, Thor is a god. And Hulk is a genetic experiment gone wry.
Yeah. Sorry, I just had to, like, bring that up again because I remembered what it was.
This is such a good movie.
It really is.
If I had to go through and rank the MCU movies, I can't do a number order, but this is definitely up there in my top five. I truly loved Ragnarok. Mm-hmm. It was so fun.
It really is a great movie. I really, really love it. And, like, the fact that within the first 30 minutes is when they decide to just, like, destroy the hammer is, like, crazy to me.
Yeah, that was a power move.
It was so soon. You were like, whoa, 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 what just happened?
Mm-hmm.
Because you kind of assume that she breaks the hammer later.
Yeah, because all we see is in the trailer. And then, yeah, we lost Mjolnir pretty fast.
Mjolnir.
Mjolnir.
You're like Darcy. Mew, mew.
I can't say the hammer name.
That's really funny.
We've
established this in past episodes. But if the... luckily for you, there is no more Mew. Mew Mew is gone. I think that's really it.
Yeah, go watch Ragnarok. Please. It's a good one. I did it without any context. And also
watch What We Do in the Shadows.
Yeah. Keep an eye on Taika Waititi's career. It's fun.
He's so good.
But he wants to come back to the MCU, and I'm really glad that he wants to. But he officially has turned down. He's like, I don't want to do Guardians 3, which is good.
But again, like, as like we said in the Guardians 2 episode, I wouldn't be mad with it. Like, I think he would bring a class to the jokes that is sorely needed in Guardians of the Galaxy. Because, like I said at the beginning, Taika Waititi is really good at making one-liners or making them natural in a way that doesn't sound like, LOL, laugh at my joke. Like, isolated, I think Guardians is... like, isolated from the rest of the movie, those one-liners are funny, but... in the movie, you're just like, ugh. But in Thor Ragnarok, the one-liners are funny within the movie and taken out of context.
Yeah. Also, you can rewatch, like, the Guardians jokes, once you've heard them the first time, then they, like, on a second watch, you're just like, oh, it gets... Guardians gets a little less funny, kind of, as you rewatch. But, like, the other ones, like Ragnarok, they hold up. Yeah, it's still funny. Still fresh.
That's it. What are we doing next week?
Ragnarok is the Punisher. Oh, no.
Oh, no. Okay. So, we're recording these out of order. So next is the Punisher. Lily has a pass. She doesn't have to watch that one.
I'm not watching Punisher. I couldn't even watch him in Daredevil. But I will wiki it.
The Punisher is probably my only one that I'm giving you a pass for. Right? I haven't given you a pass for anyone else, right?
No. Daredevil 1 was a special case. But, yeah.
Oh, I didn't give you a pass for the first season of Daredevil, but you just kind of did that.
Yeah.
But for The Punisher, like, that's just a gory mess, so I'm gonna let you slide with that. Okay.
Thank you.
And with that, we'll be with you till the end of the line. You can follow me on Twitter at TheSabrinaPet. You can follow Lily at Lily_Rugo. You can follow the podcast at EMFangirls. You can also check out our website, earthsmightiestfangirls.com. Thank you, Squarespace. Maybe sponsor us or something.
Squarespace, sponsor us.
And shoot us an email at EMFangirls@gmail.com.
Thank you to Dexter Britton for letting us use their song Wonderland, and thanks to us for editing and producing internationally and super ahead of schedule.